Brethren, if you would, to start off my message, I would like you to turn right to Leviticus chapter 16. This whole chapter deals with this very holy day that we are observing today, the Day of Atonement. And it's the first reference that we have about this day. Now, Leviticus 16 is filled with instruction that God commanded Moses to pass on to the physical nation of Israel so that they would understand and know how to keep this day as a nation and why they needed to. Of course, we know that didn't last very long because Satan's grip on this world has just consumed everything, and he had influenced them as well. Now, the chapter starts out by telling how Aaron should offer a bull as a sin offering for himself to make atonement for himself before he could even go ahead and atone for the sins of the nation of Israel with the two goats. But that's not what I want to focus on today. What I want to focus on more closely in my message is verses 29 to 31. So Leviticus 16, verses 29 to 31, it reads, "This shall be a statute, this day of atonement, shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work on it, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on this day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls." And he goes on to say, it is a statute forever. Forever is a long time, isn't it? That's in part why we keep it today, and we will continue to keep this day. But twice here in these three verses, brethren, it says that we shall afflict our souls. What does that mean? Maybe you've heard a message about this before, but it's a good thing to remind ourselves. So that's what I'd like to go into further today. We know that each of the holy days God has given to his people, there are certain unique rituals that he commanded the nation of Israel to do back then. And during that time, they were physical in nature mostly. But as we read them today, these rituals are meant to lead us to a deeper spiritual understanding. That is our goal, after all, isn't it? To grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And most closely associated with this day for us, physically speaking, is this command to afflict our souls. So first, let us look more closely into the meaning of the two words that make up this phrase. The first one is the English word afflict, and its Hebrew counterpart is the word anah. Now, anah is a primitive root word, and it means to depress, abase oneself, chasten, exercise, force, gentleness, humble oneself, submit, and even weaken. The second word that is translated souls in many Bible versions is just the Hebrew word nephesh. We are all nephesh. Any of the animals that you see out in nature are nephesh. It just literally means a breathing creature. The word is used very widely in a literal and figurative sense in referring to the body as well as the mind. And it's translated into a number of different words other than soul. Words like appetite, desire, greed, or mortality. Now, it's interesting that if you put a few of these word definitions together, you come up with different combinations. And I think that they can actually give us a better comprehension or idea of this day and what God wants us to learn from it. So a few combinations that I came up with here are to humble your greed, or to depress your appetite, or weaken your desire. These are also ways that we can look at this Day of Atonement to get a better understanding of its meaning for us today. Now, what does a physical ritual associated with afflicting your souls have to do with fasting, after all? Because that's what we're doing today, aren't we? We are commanded to fast for a 24-hour period. Are the two, in fact, connected to one another? Is there scriptural evidence to support this? Yes, there is. If you would, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 35. Psalm chapter 35. Psalm 35, verse 13, David says the following. He says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." And he says, "I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer will return to my own heart," he says. So here, the word that is translated humbled is the same word that is translated afflict that is used in Leviticus 16, the Hebrew word anah. So David afflicted his body by fasting and humbling himself in prayer, asking God in this psalm to deliver him during his time of need, what he was going through at that moment. Another scripture that we can turn to for more support in linking afflicting our souls with fasting is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Now, Isaiah is talking here about the proper way to fast that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And he writes the following. In Isaiah 58, starting in verse 3, he says, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you have not noticed? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors." So here the prophet Isaiah is making a very clear that the same phrase, afflict your souls, is tied very strongly to the physical ritual of fasting. And if we continue on in verse 4, he says, "Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of the wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen," verse 5, "a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens," he says, "and to oppress and to let the press go free, and that you break every yoke?" So not only does Isaiah clearly link fasting here in these verses with afflicting our souls, but he goes on more in depth into the proper frame of mind we need to have while fasting, brethren. He shows us that we must humble ourselves and really open ourselves up to God. We need to express that same loving, committed attitude that our Heavenly Father has for us and just reciprocate that back for him at all times. But we can definitely do that during this Day of Atonement, can't we? Fasting, then, is an exercise in self-discipline over our fleshly cravings while keeping God first in our thoughts. I know it's hard to not think about food while you're fasting. This day or any time that we do so, it's hard not to think about food. But our focus, brethren, our main focus, needs to be on the true bread of life, Jesus Christ. And when fasting, we make just a small sacrifice. Now, some of us may think that it's just unbearable to go 24 hours without food and drink. But to God, it's just a small sacrifice. And one that we need to make if we are going to focus on our Savior's awesome sacrifice and plan for us and for all mankind. And because of our human nature, because we are human beings and we have human nature that is egocentric or self-centered, we have to work at that, don't we? Because right now you might be thinking about, man, I'm hungry, I want this, I want that, but there's that I want attitude instead of, well, what does God want of me this day, right? And that's the same type of attitude that we shouldn't have just today, but every day. We need to take the approach that King David did when he wrote, I humbled myself with fasting, in Psalm 35 that we read earlier. And we know that God delights in those who have a humble heart, don't we? Those who show humility. Just a few chapters over, you can just jot down Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. You don't need to turn there. But there, Isaiah goes on to write, and on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's the type of individual that God is looking for. That's the type of attitude that we need to have and that we need to represent, not only to each other, but to the world. So our attitudes matter when it comes to fasting, brethren. If we call out all the distractions that Satan throws at us, either in our personal life, in our country, or around the world, then, and only then, can we calm ourselves, relax, and focus all of our attention on what this Day of Atonement really means for us. We can focus on what's important. God wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, not necessarily a hamburger, fries, and strawberry milkshake. Did that for someone in the back row over here. Because food will come and go, but God will always be there for when you need him. And we need to remember that. And when we fast, we increasingly feel hungry or physically weak, don't we? Because our bodies are frail. Our bodies need food and water in order to survive. We couldn't do this for many more days before we may end up in the hospital. Well, in addition to reinforcing the fact that God is the one who sustains us and supplies our physical needs, it's important, brethren, that we take away this lesson, that we need our Heavenly Father. And we need to stick close to him, like we are on this day, by fasting. Fasting allows us to draw closer to our Heavenly Father. But today isn't necessarily the only day that you should be fasting or drawing close to God through Bible study, through prayer, through meditation. All those things bring us closer to our Heavenly Father. And they're all things that he would greatly desire for us to be doing, drawing closer to him. Now, in order to fast properly, brethren, we know that we need to go without food and drink. And these things have clear parallels from a spiritual point of view. Bread and water. What do they mean? Let's remind ourselves by turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We see here that We see here that we are not supposed to live by physical food and drink alone. Because, yes, that'll sustain us physically, but it's not going to sustain us spiritually. And that's of the utmost importance, or should be, for each and every one of us, is our spiritual health. We need something more sustainable that can only come from God and Jesus Christ. His words provide us with everything we need to sustain our lives in the right and proper manner. Yes, we still need to eat physical food and drink liquids, but what truly should matter in the lives of every converted Christian is what we can read from the pages of our Bibles. And by not neglecting that spiritual nourishment, we can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we afflict our souls today by fasting, not to necessarily understand how we feel physically when we go without food and water. We fast so that we can understand why it's important to be at one with God, to be partaking of his way of life every day, and to look forward to a time when evil will be banished from this earth. I have just one other side note that I thought of while preparing my message, and that's looking at that word affliction. We afflict our souls to draw closer to God and to learn from his Son, Jesus Christ, don't we? But ask yourselves, is humanity being afflicted? Has humanity been afflicted? And will humanity continue to be afflicted? By the God of this world? Very much so. Satan has afflicted humanity at every conceivable level by seducing them into thinking contrary to how God would want them to live and think. It's not necessarily part of my sermonette message today, but just to see things from a different perspective, right? It's always good to do that. So we can also see from this perspective how much this world needs the removal of sin altogether, and why only by removing the author of it, Satan, and his army of demons, can that ever happen. But it will in a future time and in a future place.